I'm honored and challenged to be speaking before all of you today. This is a time of transition in our field of education and in my life. 1 week ago today, I retired from my day teaching position after serving for 38 years as a teacher of children who are deaf, deafblind, and blind. Let me tell you, it was not a decision I had always dreamed of making. I always anticipated wonderful thoughts of future trips and activities. This was a decision made with nightmares of abandoning my students and concerns for their future education. I had the most wonderful students and parents in the world. Together, we shared some amazing experiences. My students had their artwork selected for display in the Helen Keller International Art Show. They participated in Braille Readers or Leaders. My public school district hosted a regional Braille challenge during each of the past 3 years, and each time we sent at least one finalist to compete in Los Angeles as one of the top 12 participants in his or her age group. I should have been able to retire with the laurels of success on my head and shoulders. Instead, I retired with much concern. Concern for quality of the future education of my students. Whoever comes aboard as their teacher in September will walk into a position where, among other tasks, he or she will have to transcribe trigonometry, honors Italian, and chemistry into Braille for my blind student who is a high school junior. Challenges, we all face them every day. When Mark Rigabono invited me to participate as a panel member for a topic related to education of blind students, I was intrigued. When he asked me to focus on innovations that are needed in the preparation of teachers of blind students and what we still need to learn about it, I was in. However, I need to admit to a level of discomfort sitting here before you on a panel where the title of the topic is The Failure of the Education System in Meeting the Needs of the Blind. As a teacher, I would not want my career and my efforts to be thought of as a failure. But after some intense discussion with Mark and others, I've come to realize that this isn't a personal reflection on any one teacher, but on a system. The words failure and education should not be uttered in the same sentence, yet they often are. I'm here because I believe that the challenges we face together and the solutions that we can develop together have the potential to make the education system one which can and will prepare future teachers to meet the educational needs of our blind students. In July 1989, more than 20 years ago, Dr. Susan Spungen spoke before a very similar audience at the National Convention of the Blind in Denver, Colorado. In her speech, she provided her perspectives of why we have increased numbers of illiterate blind people. She grouped these reasons into 8 categories. With respect to the time allotted to me for my comments today, as well as the request that I refocus on the preparation of our future teachers, I'm going to deal with only some of these reasons, those that involve teacher competence and teacher training in Braille, my areas of passionate interest and involvement. In 1989, Dr. Spungen said that university teacher training programs for teachers of visually handicapped students have given lip service to teaching Braille and have over the years graduated less than proficient Braille instructors as teachers. In the 1990s, most university programs had only one required Braille course, and 20% of them didn't even touch the Nemeth code. Now, programs have 2 and even 3 Braille courses. In addition to the literary code, programs now incorporate Nemeth code, music, foreign language, and computer code, as well as methods and strategies for teaching reading and writing by using Braille and Braille-related assistive technology. A research study has recently been completed that gathered data on how university instructors teach Braille to future teachers. The results of this study will be published in an upcoming issue of the Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness. I eagerly await these data. AER, the Association for Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind, has just formed a work group to discuss the establishment of national standards for university Braille courses. This work group will convene in 2 weeks at the biennial AER convention in Little Rock, Arkansas. One of the topics that will be discussed within this work group is the National Certification in Literary Braille Competency Test. I've been involved in the test development process through all its iterations over the past 2 decades. This NCLB test is a solid assessment tool to measure the Braille transcription skills of the minimally qualified candidate for entry-level teachers. I'm hopeful that discussion will involve the potential for endorsement of this test at the university level, and that creative solutions to work out administrative issues between all parties will be developed. We should not allow our university students to take their place as teachers in the classroom of our children without meeting these standards. Dr. Spungen also talked about the existing service delivery model in schools serving blind children and how they have, through the concept of least restrictive environment founded in Public Law 94-142, favored itinerant and teaching consult models of services. This model limits the time spent with students because of large caseloads and geographic regions served. While sighted students learn literacy skills throughout the day, our blind children learn Braille perhaps 2 or 3 or 5 hours a week, while their teachers often spend more time in travel than in direct instruction. When I was teaching a university Braille course in one of the Midwest states, I had a parent, a mother, in my course, which was designed for teachers. I asked her why she was taking this course, and this was her response. She told me that she had a 6-year-old blind son. They lived on 3 generations of family farmland in a very rural area. She was not willing to send her 6-year-old son several hundred miles away from his family to the state school for the blind. The itinerant teacher of the blind could only get to the school to work with her son twice a month, and only if the Cessna plane that would bring this teacher to the school was not being used for crop spraying. Thus, if her son was going to learn Braille, it would be up to her to teach him. So here she was. A crisis exists in the United States because of the shortage of competent teachers of students who are blind or visually impaired. There are approximately 40 colleges or university-level teacher training programs in the USA today. Collectively, these programs graduate approximately 250 new TVIs per year. This in a field where we are presently 5,000 TVIs short to fill the existing need. Some states do not have a teacher training program, while other states have 2 or 3 within close proximity. One solution to the lack of access of teacher training programs has been online Braille education. While teaching online Braille courses, I experience the freedom one gains when one realizes that the world is the true classroom, and that learning is not bound by 4 walls and 1 instructor. As the world becomes their classroom, students begin to add valuable members of the field to their personal and professional networks. Guest speakers can be integral parts of online courses, and they help build community as they share their expertise and experience via discussion boards. My students have had the benefit of learning from and then being able to contact Dr. Abraham Nemeth, creator of the Nemeth Braille Code for Math, to ask questions. And he's always delighted to speak with them about his life's work. Thank you, Dr. Nemeth. Another benefit of the online model is that it allows educators to reach students in diverse geographic areas without the requirements of travel. Although the online model is designed to allow flexibility and eliminate the cost and time required to travel to a classroom, many graduate students still juggle jobs, families, and other courses. Time management skills, organization, and self-discipline are prerequisites to studying Braille online. I have on several occasions said to a student, perhaps this is not the best time in your life to be taking this challenging course. Another question of time is the duration of the course. Is the 14 to 15 week time frame of a university semester too short to gain true competence in learning Braille? The majority of our regular education teachers are themselves educated in print-rich environments, yet we're expecting our future teachers who are learning Braille to be highly qualified in less than 4 months of instruction. Instead of positive attitudes and love of Braille, some of my students leave with frustration and distaste due to the speed in which they have had to proceed through their lessons. Will these future teachers advocate that their students use Braille if they themselves have not had a personally rewarding experience while learning Braille? And some of my students simply do not pass the course. Last year, I had a 40% failure rate. While we're in desperate need of more teachers for our students, enabling less than qualified teachers to enter the field as teachers of our blind students is not the answer. The online method of instruction poses challenges in demonstrating or observing mechanics, such as the skill of proper hand position on a Perkins Brailler. In the same way that technology cannot replace Braille, online Braille simulation software cannot replace the experience of pressing keys while learning to use a Braille writer. Online Braille instructors need to be able to provide opportunities for students to learn and demonstrate their proficiency with Braille software and the Perkins Brailler without face-to-face interaction. This is yet another way in which we can collaborate to make such learning opportunities available. And last but not least, a comment on the accessibility of online instruction. Full and independent access for university students who are blind or visually impaired is not yet assured in the online Braille courses I teach, often due to limitations of computer hardware and software, and sometimes due to lack of owner-operator skills. 200 years after the birth of Louis Braille, I'm teaching a new generation of university students who have grown up to view technological gadgets as extensions of their bodies. They're captivated by multitasking. They talk, listen, and text in a synchronized and natural manner. They have instant access to communication and have come to expect that the world will join them in philosophy and practice. The educational model so familiar to most instructors in preparing teachers in the field of visual impairment has changed, and these shifting paradigms in education have led educators to continually identify new challenges in search of solutions. In conclusion, I would like to share with you a brief story that I wrote. It was written in honor of my grandfather, a carpenter, and my aunt, a retired TVI, who was my first Braille teacher. When a carpenter goes out to build a house, he has many tools at his or her disposal. Although the hammer is a very common tool, it comes in various shapes and sizes and weights, and with varying price costs. While it's a tool that's relatively easy to use, a carpenter cannot build a house with a hammer alone. So the carpenter starts to assemble tools for his toolbox. He can purchase or borrow tools. Some are given to him as gifts. There are always new tools coming out on the market, so the carpenter needs to be aware of all this newfangled technology so that he doesn't get left behind or can get a reputation for being the old or obsolete or incompetent or slow carpenter. He needs to learn how to use all of these tools, either by going to a trade school or a program or being an apprentice or working collaboratively with more experienced carpenters. He learns to measure twice, cut once, because accuracy is critically important in his trade. He may never need to use all of these tools in his toolbox, but the choice of which tool to use is up to him, only if he knows how to use them. Otherwise, valuable tools go untouched at the bottom of the toolbox, and he will never achieve his potential as a carpenter. Not knowing how to use all of these tools could be okay as well. It depends on what he wants to build. If he wants to build a small bench, then a saw and a hammer might suffice. But if he dreams of building a castle, he would have to be competent in using all the tools to build the castle of his dreams. How do the tools and skills of a carpenter relate to teaching Braille? Teachers need to teach skills and strategies so their students will have choices in their educational and vocational careers. In our world, some students will learn uncontracted Braille and they will label their CDs. Some will learn contracted Braille and they will go to college and earn a degree that's challenging. Some students will surpass us in their knowledge of technology and become our teachers and mentors. It's all about choice and about having the skills and knowledge to make the correct choice. We, as teachers and teacher trainers, need to assure that the choice is theirs and not the result of the impact of us not teaching the skills they need to know. Thank you.